I'm Shanna Hutchison, dietitian, blogger, and mama, born and raised in the heart of the Midwest. I believe that wellness goes way beyond what we eat and that our body size does not determine our worth. I am passionate about showing other women how to live a life they truly love, one that feels purposeful, that helps them feel their best physically, mentally, and emotionally, and that being a mom can be one of the best things you ever do without it becoming your entire identity. This is a place you can come to hear vulnerable and interesting conversations about health and wellness, motherhood, entrepreneurship, and more. If you want to find freedom with food, learn how to improve your overall well-being, and stop waiting for a number on the scale to start living your best life and go after your goals, then you're in the right place. I'm so excited to learn and grow together. This is the Wellness for the Win podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Wellness for the Win podcast. I'm your host, Shanna Hutchison, and I cannot wait to share today's conversation with you. I have been wanting to do an episode on marriage for months now, and when I surveyed my audience on Instagram to get some recommendations on who I should interview, several people actually mentioned Casey and Megan from Marriage 365. So I looked them up, and I immediately fell in love with them and their content and their personalities and how they approach these topics and shared them with their audience. I also love how they openly share some of the very real struggles that they faced early on in their marriage, because I think what they went through is so common. And I know a lot of people probably feel really alone in those struggles, because all we see every day, all day on social media is people's very perfect looking marriages and families and all those things. We rarely ever see or hear about the hard stuff. But the reality is, marriage is not easy. It takes a lot of work and dedication and time. And as we discuss in this interview, it also requires a lot of intentionality. And we have to get especially creative and put in extra effort to make it a priority after kids. So today we are diving into all of those topics, like marriage after babies, actually lots of talk about sex and how to prioritize intimacy in your relationship. So keep listening to find out whether or not you should be scheduling sex with your partner. We talk about how to navigate conflict, what to do if you feel like your marriage needs help, but you can't afford marriage counseling right now, and so much more. This was an awesome conversation packed with so many great practical tips and ideas and things that you can start to implement immediately. And I hope you will love it. So let's go ahead and jump in and meet Casey and Megan.
Absolutely. And like I said on the email, there's no topic that's off limits for us.
Right? I love that.
And I will say too, I noticed that I was just like reading your podcast bio, like you want people to be like the healthiest versions of themselves, which is exactly what our same mission statement is. Mm-hmm. It's just in marriage. Yeah. So yeah, I love it.
Yes. That's so important. And I think, you know, I am a dietitian, and so I always tell people, you know, nutrition is very important, but it's one little piece of the whole puzzle that makes us healthy. And relationships are a massive part of what makes us healthy in life. So yes, I couldn't agree more that that's just such a key component to our health. So with that, you know, like we were just kind of chatting about, how can we continue to prioritize our marriage after kids? Because as we all know, things change a lot. You're oftentimes just like going through the motions and checking off the to-do list and like, okay, do we have diapers? Who's doing daycare drop-off? You know, all the to-dos. And it's very easy sometimes to just get stuck in that rut of not really like prioritizing like, hey, honey, how are you? Oh, let me give you like a hello and goodbye kiss, right? So how can we continue to do some of those little things after kids and make our marriage still a big focus?
Yeah, I mean, I think we get lost in the logistics of life sometimes, and that can kind of lull us into a bit of a sleep, right? We're just going through the motions. We're blocking and tackling life, right? It's like, get this done, get that, pick that up, drop that off, move back and forth. And I think that within all of those tasks, it's easy for us to not be intentional. And I think that that's what really killed Megan and I in the beginning of our relationship, was we kind of just relied on this like hope as a strategy, like this idea that I just hope we connect. I hope we get over our issues. I hope we rebuild trust. I hope we can see eye to eye. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way relationship works effectively. And I think we live in a culture that supports hope as a strategy, and it's just not working. And that's really kind of where we came up with this idea. Marriage 365 is like, you have to be intentional every single day. And so if you're going to try to just go through parenting and hope that you your marriage survives, it's not going to happen. In fact, it's that just strategy is doomed from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and statistics back that up. I mean, the most common season of divorce is actually when you're raising children. Mm. And it's around year 4 to year 10 of your marriage, mm-hmm. which shows like with like little and young kids, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the second most common time people divorce is when they have an empty nest.
Right.
Yeah.
So the kids have grown out of the home because they made it all about the children. Mm-hmm. Never prioritized their work, their marriage. All they know is work and kids and house. And then now the kids are gone and they're like, I don't know you anymore. And right. So
can I just say too, it's funny that these are the types of parents that will spend thousands of dollars on their kids
monthly.
And I mean, and I get it. Like our kids are like leeches. They just say more and more and more. But it's funny that those same kind of parents will spend thousands of dollars on their kids, yet to get them to spend hundreds of dollars on their marriage. They're, you know, it's like asking them to.
Oh, it's pulling teeth. It feels like it's pulling teeth. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really what it is I think a lot of couples assume, oh, we have to do this big grand vacation every year together as a couple. And we have to do an expensive weekly date night. And actually studies show it's not, those things are great. And those things have a place. And if you can afford them and you've got time, excellent. Mm-hmm. But really it's a matter of daily connection.
Yeah.
It's the connection time and saying, okay, we're not going to talk about kids, work, money. We're just going to talk about us.
Yeah.
Feelings, goals, dreams, fears, concerns, what's going on with you? Mm-hmm. And so that actually we call it connection time, where mm-hmm. you would find something to do as a couple. So for Casey and I, we love games. We love board games, card games. Right now we're on a Yahtzee kick.
I love Yahtzee. It's an underrated game.
Underrated game. And then we make it even fun, like winner gets to pick sex position. Ooh. Or winner
gets
to
love that
massage. Like you can change it up. Mm-hmm. Other things we do for connection time, we love to take a walk around our neighborhood. Sometimes we'll go through, we have a great book called 365 Connecting Questions for Couples.
Oh, they're open-ended nice.
Questions. So we literally, you pulled the book out today during lunch and yeah. you were like, he asked the question for the day.
A question about what do you want to do when you retire and how old do you want to be and what's that look like? And it actually spurred a conversation. We started talking about money. We talked about
travel.
We wanted to start playing golf together. Yeah, yeah. Like yeah. It, that one question sparked all these different things. And yeah, mm-hmm. sure. We've talked about that, but just having intentional time that's dedicated, blocked, right? And even when we do connection time or we're playing Yahtzee, mm-hmm. you should, kids, bye, get away. It's our time. It's our time. And we protect that because we recognize that even in the midst of parenting, you know, our kids will gobble up every single ounce of energy and time. And if we don't we don't fight for our time, like we'll lose it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We have to be intentional.
So again, I think that it's finding these small moments in the day, but like what Casey kind of, you know, talked about is scheduling them. So for us, mm-hmm. we're massive advocates for scheduling things. Mm-hmm. And something that we actually offer at Marriage 365, and we tell every couple that they should do. And what I love is husbands love this, mm-hmm. is something called the weekly marriage business meeting.
Oh my gosh.
So yes. What you do is you sit down for like 30 minutes. For us, it's on Sunday nights after the kids go to bed, but we look at our whole week coming up. Schedules, money, meal plans, sex, date night, connection time. If it does not go on the calendar, guess what? It doesn't happen for us. We're too busy.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really where you actually get to tell your time. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what they say, like, you know, you tell your money what you want it to do, not the other way around. It's the same thing with your time. It's saying we are going to dedicate every night this week for 10 minutes to do connection mm-hmm. time, or we're going to schedule sex for Friday night, or we're going to schedule our in-home date night for this night. And then you feel prioritized in your relationship. Mm-hmm. You feel like, wow, like we're on the same page. And this is so preventative for parents.
Right.
I mean, I know you're a dietitian about, you know, even like meal planning and things right. like that. What happens with couples is that if you're both working or one of you's working and one of you's with the kids, you get home at night. Do you think that either one of you have the energy to be creative
right.
with some like new idea? Of course not. That's mm-hmm. why you plan it. right?
Yeah.
You don't be in the moment. And that actually goes completely against Hollywood, because Hollywood says, be spontaneous, have sex when you feel like it. And you guys should just, you know, figure it out. And that reality is that that doesn't really happen to most couples. And so we always tell couples, if you're too busy, you feel stressed out, you feel like you don't have time, schedule it and put it in the calendar and set an alarm or a reminder, whatever you need to do.
It's funny. It's like, it's so, that is such our culture. It's just, you know, you be you, you feel what you feel like when that moment, and that just, that leaves everything to chance and everything is just on a whim. Mm-hmm. And to, in order to have a long lasting, satisfying relationship, the way I've explained it to a lot of couples in coaching situations is like, look at, like the world that we live in does not naturally promote like healthy relationship mindsets, because I think, again, if we're just going to just go on a whim, I think back of when we first got married, and the thing that got us in trouble the most was all these expectations that I had on Megan. Mm-hmm. I had expected her to be there in the right moment, or I'd expect her money to be in the right place, or I had an expectation about what's happening for dinner tonight.
You expected that I would just know what you were feeling and needing from me without ever communicating to me.
In my mind.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it just, it cast our relationship on the rocks of assumption is how I explain it. It just put us in a place where we just assumed everything, and we missed that time for us to sit down and say, hey, here's actually what's everything that's happening. That's where we ran into problem. And I think for your listeners, for our life, for your life too, I think we're all looking for betterment, right? We want to be, as you've said, we want to be the healthiest versions of ourselves, right? And that means being efficient. That means being smarter. And I think that this is one of those strategies that really helps you become more efficient at life. It's going to probably reduce about 50% of arguments you would have with your partner.
Just doing the weekly marriage business meeting.
If you are a pet owner, I have to tell you about a service that we have used and loved for years. I'm talking about Chewy. Chewy sells food, medicine, supplements, toys, and more for dogs, but also all kinds of other animals, including cats, fish, birds, and others. We love Chewy because you can set everything up on auto ship, so it gets automatically sent to your doorstep when you need it. So it's one less thing to think about, and it always shows up really quickly. They're also constantly running deals, so we have found that purchasing through Chewy is almost always more affordable, especially for things like medications. Last but definitely not least, my absolute favorite thing about Chewy is their customer service. They're incredibly responsive and so kind. For example, one time my parents had to cancel their automatic shipment of their original food and switch to a prescription food because one of their dogs had a seizure. The Chewy team sent them a sweet handwritten note and flowers to tell them they were sorry and thinking of Beasley, their dog. Another time, they accidentally sent 2 bags of food to my parents and they were massive. And since their dogs are so small, they're little Westies and would take forever to get through it, they reached out to let Chewy know and they encouraged them to donate the second bag to a dog shelter and refunded them for it. So just insane, amazing customer service. And I recently shared that our oldest dog, Harley, has kidney disease. So it feels like we've been ordering more medications and supplements than usual lately. And we continue to be so impressed with how quickly everything ships and shows up on our doorstep. We have always had super positive experiences with Chewy. And because of the price, convenience, and most of all the service, we will be Chewy customers for life. If you don't already buy supplies for your dogs through them, I highly recommend checking them out through my affiliate link in the show notes. Happy shopping. Yeah, I believe that. I mean, that's honestly genius, because I think about my husband and I, like, we have a fairly good system as far as like daycare drop off and pick up and that kind of thing. But I'm like, but we still have those daily texts of, you're picking him up, right? Or, you know, what do you have tonight? I'm like, oh, I have a podcast recording tonight. Remember, you know, those little things. It's like, yes, the more we can communicate and be on the same page and know what we have going on. Because like you said, we're just busy humans. And even if we've talked about it 5 times, one of us is still going to forget. So it's like, let's put everything on the calendar, have those reminders. And like you said, too, going back to like that notion of just like, oh, I hope that's going to happen. I hope, you know, that we have that connection time. And then like, oh, whoops, it's Thursday and we have connected 0 times this week. And, you know, and I think exactly, you know, there is so much overlap with our professions. And I totally agree that with nutrition and healthy habits in general, it does require some level of planning and intentionality. And we, once again, we can't just hope that we're going to eat healthy if we have no healthy food in the home, right? And it's just like, you know, taking those steps and planning ahead. I think, you know, I kind of talk about this where I think it's important to have flexibility, but also some level of discipline. You know, both of those can and should be part of the equation, I think, and you'll be a lot more successful in both of these areas if you have that.
Absolutely. And you know, I always tell someone, if you have a really bad day at work or with the kids and you had like this time scheduled and planned with your spouse, it's okay to send them a text or give them a call and say, hey, listen, I know we had, you know, an hour scheduled tonight for us time, and I just had the worst day ever. My boss was horrible. I am so sorry. I want you to know I'm not trying to avoid anything. I love you. I care about us, but I physically and mentally cannot even like be there for you tonight. But you know what?
Right.
Let's schedule it again for tomorrow night. And mm-hmm. and that right there shows that you care.
Right.
You're trying to make it better. We all have those days. And that's that flexibility you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just being realistic. Yeah, life happens, unfortunately, and things come up and the dogs wanted to join me as they always do. But yes, I love all that. And I think that's really important and super helpful for, again, not just feeling like you're going, you know, going through the motions and checking off that to-do list every day of the week. So moving on to intimacy, which I know you guys kind of touched on a few things like scheduling sex, which I think is, I've heard, you know, a lot of people kind of touch on that concept. And I think, like you said, I mean, we have these like Hollywood expectations of, yeah, it's just going to happen naturally and blah, blah, blah. But the reality is, yeah, life happens. We get tired. We just maybe aren't in the mood or whatever it may be. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why it may not happen. So, you know, what are some of your other tips for making intimacy a priority? How to find the time and the energy? Do you find in working with people that they feel like it's easier to make it happen when it is scheduled, where they're like, oh, I'm kind of like looking forward to it versus like feeling like this expectation that I need to initiate or, you know, whatever that looks like. So I'd love to hear, you know, some thoughts on that.
Okay. So we always start off by saying, if you and your spouse are having spontaneous sex and you're both happy with the quality and the quantity, don't schedule sex. Like it's okay. Working for you. And so mm-hmm. that's kind of our caveat to say, don't change something in your marriage that you know is working and it's effective.
Okay. Sure.
But here's the thing. That's only about 10% of couples.
Yeah, sure.
So I love when I get that, like, I'm like, well, what if great, but are you really the 10%? And then when I talk to both spouses, one spouse goes, I'm fine with it. And the other spouse mm-hmm. says, I'm not super happy.
Right.
So talk with your spouse. But scheduling sex is one of those things that, again, shows that you prioritize and care about your intimacy. Mm-hmm. So we prioritize our children's dental health. We are going to make them an appointment for the dentist. Mm-hmm. If we prioritize, you know, a meeting at work because we might get a raise or it might, you know, whatever, give us a commission, we're going to prioritize that project. So right. it has to be that same mindset mm-hmm. of this is a good thing. Because right. what happens and where people get hung up, and we hear this at Marriage 365 is, well, that makes it feel like a chore.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Our brain is our largest sex organ. Mm. So when those people say, oh, it feels like a chore, that's their own thoughts. That's not our thoughts. That's not right. anyone else's thoughts. That's your own thoughts. And I would say, lean into that. Why do you think it's a chore? Mm-hmm. Because chances are they have found that Hollywood or whatever their example was, the rom-com movie that they're, or The Bachelor, something like that, right?
Right.
That's kind of what they're looking at is like, it should be always spontaneous. And again, if you're doing that and it's working for you, great. But most couples are not, especially when you have children. And mm-hmm. so it's your mindset, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my mind has gone many different places because I'm thinking like, here's where I'm thinking from a guy's perspective is I don't think guys have to schedule sex because I think if you're like, hey, I'm going to jump in the shower, we're like, well, I'm in the mood right now. If you're up for it,
wait, I'm naked.
Yeah, I'm always in the mood and I'm always ready to go.
Right.
But I do think that like husbands should, you know, have a heads up to go, well, this is something that if I'm scheduling this, then I can actually focus on the foreplay throughout the day.
Yeah, baby.
There you go.
And this is what's interesting is that I've never, ever heard anyone say, well, while we were kissing and making out and touching and rubbing and we were having intercourse and everything else, I was thinking, you know, this is scheduled time.
Right. Totally.
In the moment, you're in the moment. So that's why when I hear the chore thing, I'm like, well, that's a chore I will gladly pick up.
And it's also like, and on that same token, it's like, okay, well, what if like a date night is scheduled? Is that also a chore? So it's really like just your mindset around that specific thing. So it's like almost getting curious about, why do you find sex specifically to feel like a chore when it's on the schedule?
It says something more about you than the way you receive that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think
no too, judgment though.
Yeah. Right. That's why I said like lean into that because I think there's actually something there. Mm-hmm. I think most people don't know their brain as their largest sex organ. So what you think and feel about sex is going to impact the way that you show up. But let me say this, when women say absolutely not, I would never want to schedule. I always say, Casey is so like thoughtful that day and he puts the kids to bed and he unloads the dishwasher there's that part. And I'm not saying that that's what I want, but let's be honest. I do want all those things
for sure.
The other part of that is I'm actually very aware of my energy that day because I'm not going to run myself to the ground and be exhausted because I have sex. And for me, sex is a positive thing. Mm-hmm. Orgasm. I mean, I've never met a woman who doesn't like to orgasm.
Right.
I have women who have an orgasm and that's different.
Yeah.
But for those of you who like to orgasm and you enjoy sex and you enjoy that intimacy and closeness, that's why it shouldn't be a chore. It should be, I get to do this. My husband still finds me attractive after 20 years of marriage. Like this is a gift to my marriage. If you are thinking those things, then I think it doesn't feel like a chore. And if anything, it actually kind of builds anticipation. And then we get to flirt. He sends me flirty text messages. I'll send a naughty picture. Like we get to, I'll shave my legs in the shower. Like,
there you go. That's true. You can plan the shaving. That's always ideal.
I'll stay away from the cheese because I get bloated when I eat cheese. Like,
I'll stay away from In-N-Out because it makes me gassy.
Yes.
There you go. Thank you. Yeah.
I think that it's all about the mindset. Now, here's one more thing about scheduling sex that's really important. So a lot of people say, well, what happens if it's scheduled and then I have a bad day or I'm not feeling well? I feel all this pressure. Okay. We don't make demands in marriage. So it's not like just because it's on the schedule, you actually have to follow through. It's okay if you had a bad day or you're not feeling well. And all you say is, again, hey, I know we had sex scheduled. I'm so sorry. I am not feeling well or whatever the reason is. I had a bad day at work. Then you reschedule it for another day. You go, let's pull our calendars. Okay. You know what? Let's do it tomorrow night or let's do it Friday. Here's the thing. You can't do that every time because then what happens is it looks like you're just making excuses. But every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with that. That's life. That's adulting, right?
Totally.
The kids had the flu and you were up all night. I mean, lay off the pressure you give yourself. I feel like you give more pressure to yourself than your spouse is going to.
Right.
I want to just make one kind of comment. And that is, and this has kind of come up more recently, is that when I'm coaching a couple, I would say rarely do we really have to talk about sex. Because I think the mechanics and what happens once the door is closed, for the most majority of couples, they get what happens next, right? But what I've realized is that when I hear comments like, oh, it's just a chore, or they kind of poo-poo sex, is it's always the stuff that's happening outside the bedroom.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Creating that negative noise.
Exactly.
So it's the lack of initiation from, you know, one spouse to do date nights or connect emotionally. It's the lack of safety, even. Mm-hmm. I can be safe. It's one spouse being really critical of the other one. You're not doing it right. You're not doing it well enough. You're not doing it often enough. Mm-hmm. And that's not sex.
Right.
Meaning just out of the bedroom.
Just being very critical with our words can really create, you know, that sense of like, well, do I really want to be sexually intimate with this person who's mean?
Yeah.
Do I really want to be sexually intimate with someone who
is emotionally lazy?
avoiding issues in the relationship. I'm trying to bring up something and they're like, they're actively like trying to get out of it.
I think a lot of women hold a lot of resentment towards their husband. Mm-hmm. And resentment is one of those things that you cannot sit and compartmentalize and just kind of put it in a box. Mm-hmm. It stays with you. It lives with you. It comes out in many different ways. And so if there's been like hurt and your husband's hurt you, or there's been broken trust, and if you haven't chosen to forgive, mm-hmm. you carry that resentment. And the last thing you want to think about is having sex with your husband.
Right.
I see this every single day with hundreds of women. I mean, and men too.
Resentment is like the anti-lingerie.
That is true. And that's something that, you know, again, I have so many like young new moms, or, you know, even a little bit more seasoned moms in my community. And I know that's something specifically that comes up a lot in motherhood is that resentment piece, because we just feel like we're carrying such a heavy load of so many things and tasks. And like you said earlier, it's like expecting your partner to kind of read your mind and know that you want or need X things done. And that just happens. And that resentment creeps up. And if we're not communicating that, then it is just going to linger and affect everything, especially, you know, intimacy. So that's definitely an important one to point out. And just pointing out to, yeah, it's really what's happening outside the bedroom that's oftentimes going to be affecting your desire to have sex or not. If you are currently pregnant or postpartum and looking for some safe, effective, and quick workouts to do, you have to check out Expecting and Empowered. I used their workout guides during my pregnancy with Rhett, but now they are new and improved and they have an app for your phone, which makes it so easy and convenient to use. They even have Spotify playlists already created for you that you can access to listen to while you work out. These workouts are programmed specifically for your stage of pregnancy and or postpartum, and I know that when I was a first-time mom-to-be, I always felt super nervous about what types of exercise I should or shouldn't be doing, so I love knowing that they are all safe and supportive of the stage that you're in right now. The pregnancy workouts specifically include flexibility, pelvic floor, and strength moves, and they have workouts for upper body, lower body, and then a full body workout day. I have loved using these workouts so far during this pregnancy, and I'm excited to keep using them so I can continue to feel strong leading up to labor and recovery, and of course to keep up with my crazy toddler in the meantime. You can use my affiliate code WellnessForTheWin to save when you sign up for the app. I'll leave all the information for you in the show notes as well. I hope you love it as much as I do. And what about, like you said, you know, you're always in the mood, whereas maybe she prefers to schedule. And I think, you know, and that's not the case for every couple where it's, you know, always the male that prefers or has the higher sex drive. But in general, you know, what would you recommend? I did have a lot of my listeners submit questions about mismatching sex drives. You know, what do we do if I have a greater desire or vice versa? And, you know, it's kind of not aligning. So would you just kind of suggest having an open conversation about, okay, here are my expectations and how often would be ideal for me? And how can we kind of like meet in the middle? Or what do you kind of recommend in that case?
Can I say something really quick before you do?
Okay. He really wants to tackle this one.
I know. So it used to be where 90% of the time the male had the higher sex drive and 10% of the time the female did. And that's because, of course, men have more testosterone than ladies do, right? So it's mm-hmm. a hormone thing. But now we're seeing it's actually about 70-30, where 70% of the time men have a higher sex drive and 30% of the time women do. Now, there are a couple of different factors into that. And that's why I just wanted to say this to be very aware. So stress mm-hmm. is a major libido killer.
Yeah.
And we are mm-hmm. an overworked, overscheduled lady culture, can we say?
Yeah.
And I know you know this, but it's the same like when someone's trying to lose weight, but they don't deal with their stress and they're like, I've done everything. And you're like, how's your stress doing? Like it mm-hmm. completely interferes with everything, mental, spiritual, physical, right? All of that. And so I think people don't recognize that if you're so stressed out, it's really, again, the brain is the largest sex organ. If you're in your head about your stress, it's gonna impact that. So we're seeing men very stressed out. And that's why they used to be 90% high sex drive and now it's 70%. Okay. Another culprit, pornography. So
you're taking off.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
You're on a roll.
He's like, I'm even taking notes over here.
I know. So pornography obviously used to be really difficult to get. It used to be, you know, you had to pay for it. You had to go outside to a store, go up to the cashier and actually like buy the magazine or the VHS tape, whatever.
Right.
Now it's free and it's on every phone and every device anytime you want. And it's just so easily accessible. And there's so much secrecy to that. Mm-hmm. And so if a man is turned on or aroused and he doesn't want to have partner sex with his wife, right? It's just really easy. It's easier and you're not going to get rejected. Mm-hmm. And so men turn into porn to meet their sexual desires.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a habit because obviously self-sex is different than partner sex. Partner sex requires intimacy, conflict management, dealing with in-laws, all that good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so I say that, and I know, Casey, I'm sorry I took all your points, but I want to bring awareness to the fact that those are real things happening with a large majority of couples. And so I know there's females listening saying, I feel bad or crazy because I have the higher sex drive. Mm-hmm. And it's really hard when you hear someone like where Casey was like, I'm always in the mood. And this lady listening is going, I would give anything for my husband to be in the mood. So we're seeing this shift. Mm-hmm. It's a little nerve wracking, actually. We're not fans of it at Marriage 365 because we know the culprits behind it. It's not for good reason. It's bad stuff happening, you know?
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead. Continue. What do you want to say, babe?
Maybe I'll just give different shades to it because those are the two points I wrote down. I think that we live in a very divided culture that's created high anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. We're anxious about politics, racial tensions, financial stress, politicalization, agendas, and it's just create more division than ever. And I think we're all wearing that, especially coming out of COVID. So that anxiety, obviously, we bring home with us, and that's what we wear. Mm-hmm. I think that there's another culprit that's a little bit deeper, and that is our inability to be present with ourselves, right? We are moving from distraction to distraction to distraction. Mm-hmm. Can't even stand in line for coffee without staring at our phones, right? I mean, we that constant stimulation actually is driving, you know, an ADHD culture of just distraction to distraction where we can't tolerate silence and stillness. And so I think for me, when you think about sexual gratification, there's something slower, softer with being intimate with a human being, but there's something more highly stimulating, highly activating, at looking at multiple images and in engaging a fantasy with all of these things and then the visuals to back it up, that has created some things that have really impacted our ability to see eye to eye in the bedroom. So I mean, I think the same thing, porn, stress, anxiety, stimulation, they're all, I just gave a different facet.
Yeah. So I think we have to normalize that couples are going to have different libidos. Mm-hmm. That's life. There are seasons where you feel like you're matching. There are seasons where it's different. It's okay. We need to normalize that.
Yeah.
Having conversations about that. A great conversation starter to say, hey, I want you to think about your sex drive. Do you feel like it's high, average, or below average? And do you feel like you're happy with your sex drive? Like, just leave it open and hear where your spouse is at, because your spouse may be very aware that they have a low sex drive and they're not happy about it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's really neat about like sex and intimacy is a lot of those things, like Casey mentioned, it's rarely the issues inside the bedroom. Like those things can be fixed. And there's so much hope for someone that's struggling in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. The issues outside of the bedroom, if you're watching porn outside of the bedroom.
So maybe what we're saying is if you're having mismatched sex drives, to get more curious than judgmental or even hard on yourself to say, well, what does that mean about me? Because my spouse isn't attracted, if you are the higher sex drive. Mm-hmm. So I think sometimes what happens, we immediately want to go into some insecurities and some shame talk.
Yeah.
You know, the things that we say to ourselves, we'd never allow somebody else to say to another person, but we'll say it to ourselves is that must be meaning that I'm not attractive anymore. I am ugly. I am not, my spouse doesn't find me attractive, or they're focused on other things. So I think getting more curious with self,
And we have a ton of questions, connecting questions about sex and intimacy at Marriage 365. I mean, so many. So I think a lot of couples also don't know what to ask, or like, they can kind of come across as judgmental or shaming. We phrase them in a way where it's really gentle.
Yeah.
It's like a soft startup, but it's like a way to bring it up that's very safe and respectful. And so the hope would be that you'd have really great conversations about it and learn a lot, like just get into the, like what's going on with your spouse and their mind and their feelings. And the more you learn and empathize and validate, the better those conversations are going to get.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think too, it's just like, kind of like everything else where we're just going through the motions. We just don't often think about having the conversations around sex. And so just having those like initiating questions to kind of guide us and getting started and opening the conversation and being like, okay, this is my person. It's my partner. It's my husband, my wife. Like I can talk to them about this. We should be able to talk to each other about this. And if not, then again, getting curious, what else is going on? You know, there's other factors maybe contributing, stress or, you know, whatever else it may be. So I think that's really helpful just to kind of have those reminders and permission for, like you said, different seasons to look different. That's totally, I mean, like I said, I'm about to have a baby and we all know, you know, in the newborn phase, you're oftentimes like touched out and exhausted and, you know, it's most likely going to be mismatched in that season and that's okay. Like, you know, it's, and hopefully your partner will understand different seasons of life as well. So, it's important to be on the same page about all that.
Yeah. And a little bonus tip, you know, if you're not in the mood, you can always please your spouse.
That's true.
I mean, that's kind of one of our alternatives. Like if I'm not, I'm like, hey, do you want a hand job? Do you want oral? Like you can offer those things and vice versa. Like that goes both ways. It's not gender specific. And I think we tend to forget that. I think we instantly just go to know nothing. And we go to the separate corners of our house. And I actually just wrote an ebook called Naked Dinners. And I have a whole chapter dedicated to sexual rejection. What do you do when you're in the mood and your spouse rejects you? What can you do that would still provide connection and intimacy? And there's actually, that's one of them. There's actually a few different ideas I give in the book as well as connecting questions to go through about sex.
That's perfect. And I would just, I can't remember where I heard this, but I probably something I saw on Instagram, but something talking about how intimacy doesn't always have to mean sex. Also, just knowing that like little things like holding hands or, you know, like it, like you did earlier, just like rubbing her shoulders for a second, you know, those like gentle touches as you like walk past each other. Cause I even thought about that this morning, kind of in anticipation of this interview, how when we, you know, we have our morning shuffle, like getting my son ready to go to daycare, I give him so many hugs and kisses before he goes out the door. And I often, Ethan and I oftentimes just kind of forget to kiss each other. And I'm like, that's kind of sad. You know, it's just one of those things you don't think about because you, you know, again, you focus so much on our babies and it's like, we need to start, you know, focusing on our each other as well. You know, and always making that a priority too. And, you know, I'm kind of skipping to a future question that I'm going to ask you, but making sure that our son also sees us show each other love in that way, I think is really important. So, you know, one other thing too, you know, obviously you guys have so many resources and things that people can utilize, but I got a question, a couple of questions actually from listeners about, okay, what are some of your best tips or tools or resources for people, for couples specifically that don't have the time or the money to do therapy, you know, who feel like maybe they could benefit, they're having a lot of issues. And, you know, oftentimes I think therapy is so beneficial, whether it's individual or couples therapy, but what would you say for people who maybe don't feel like they're in a season where they can prioritize that? We mentioned it within this episode, but eating healthy requires some level of planning ahead. I try to do some meal planning and meal prep every single week, even if that's just taking 20 minutes to pre-chop some veggies or prep some quick breakfast like overnight oats. I am a firm believer that every single kitchen needs at least one quality knife, if not several. My favorite knives that I use almost exclusively are from Nakano Knives. The quality of these knives is amazing, and they are very reasonably priced, especially considering what you're getting. You can also use my affiliate code WELLNESS to save on your purchase. They have a wide variety of products to choose from depending on what you need. So you can get a large knife for chopping things like sweet potatoes, or a paring knife for smaller vegetables, steak knives and even accessories for storage or sharpening your knives. I always recommend a good classic chef's knife because it's super versatile and can be used for all kinds of things. I highly recommend checking out Nakano Knives if you are in need of an upgrade in your kitchen, and I will leave a link for you in the show notes if you want to shop.
Here's the thing. I think that, you know, Megan and I were, that's where we were at. We first married, we didn't have, I mean, it was paycheck to paycheck. There's no way we could have spent $150 to spend an hour with a therapist. And right. that to me, that is a driving force behind Marriage 365 and creating affordable tools, because I realized that at a certain point I needed help. I needed someone to guide me and mentor me. I didn't have any of those tools growing up. I didn't have anybody in my life helping me out. And honestly, I didn't have a safe place to actually say, like, here's what I was struggling with, because of my own thoughts and the way, if I phrased out, I'm struggling, somebody else is going to judge me. Even just the environment that we were at with our friend groups, nobody else was struggling or saying that they were struggling. So it really did feel... it felt isolating. Mm-hmm. And so I think that right there is one of the reasons why it is hard to look at our own stories of failures. But then I turn around and I look at, like, but Casey and Megan, when we were first married, needed to hear that story mm-hmm. of vulnerability, that story where we messed up, that embarrassing story. Trust me, it's still not mm-hmm. like, yeah, let me talk about how I failed on that. But that's what one of the things we needed. That was a driving force. I know that was a tangent, but I think that what a spouse wants to see in their other spouse is effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that could be $1.50 Rite Aid, you know, ice cream scoop. It's the intention of saying, I want to invest in our marriage. Mm-hmm. I think that there's that right there is so powerful, because that shows effort. Yeah.
Effort is free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that that's actually most essential. So whether you send a thoughtful text, you give an apology, you initiate the weekly marriage business meeting, you put the kids to bed, you give a hug right when you get home from work, those are all showing effort and that you care, and they're free.
Yeah.
I think what happens is, and this is what I was going to say, is everybody can benefit from going to individual therapy. We are huge advocates for therapy. The thing is that marriage therapy has a very low success rate.
Oh, you're going that way.
It's very, very hard for two people to feel safe and connect with one therapist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sign three schedules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And deal with your marriage problems 1 hour a week when it takes about 20 minutes for both spouses to actually calm down and be present and ready to do the work. And that there's a lot of factors into that. And
don't forget the babysitters.
And the cost of the
babysitters. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah.
And there's a lot of therapists where, you know, I feel like at Marriage 365, I feel like we get all of the people who've done marriage therapy and it didn't work, to be honest with you. I feel like that's the majority of, we're fighting for a marriage, we're trying, but like, this didn't work, we're going to try this route. And then it's completely different because we just have a different approach.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say is everybody could benefit from coaching. Mm-hmm. We have online coaches, but our membership, which is like our bread and butter of what we do, we're the largest online streaming service for relationships and marriage.
Amazing.
And we interview marriage and family therapists. We interview experts. It's a lot of Casey and May. It's a lot of us in videos, but we're not just talking about it. We're actually giving you like a guide. Like, here's what you do if your spouse disrespects you. Here's what you do if your spouse is avoiding. Mm-hmm. Do you know why your spouse is avoiding? Because let me just give you an example. Casey is an avoider.
Hello.
And I believe for years he didn't care. But then when I learned that he actually did care, that he's avoiding to protect himself emotionally, and he is afraid of failing, that was a light bulb moment for me. And so I think so many people don't know all these ins and outs. And that's what we do, like the weekly marriage business meeting. We've got a whole video, a worksheet. You print it out, you use it. You don't have to come up with the questions to ask each other. You don't have to come up with the ideas for connection time. We list out like 50 ideas. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is really where we're so passionate, because there's so much hope and it's very, very affordable and it's easily accessible and it's online. And so it's kind of like, it doesn't matter if you travel, if you've got seven kids or one kid, if you work full-time, part-time, stay-at-home mom, whatever the situation is, that's really behind Casey and I, because we did get into some debt by going to therapy. In fact, I went to therapy for about 13 months on my own. It was about $6,000, and we did not have the money for that. And so one of the things when we started Marriage for 65 was like, we don't want any couple to go into debt for that. And so let's make these affordable. Yeah. And that's our promise to couples.
And because of that too, it's not just a couple's resource. It's actually, again, I'm going to go back to your mission statement, which is helping people become the best versions of themselves. Because we do believe if you want to make a better marriage, you have to start by making a better you. Mm-hmm. And so the tool, we realize that, again, talking about sex, usually couples aren't in the mood at the same time to go work on their marriage. One is like awakening to the idea, like, you know, we could use a tune-up. We've got some things, they're starting to become issues. And then the other spouse is like, nope, don't see him. All I see is rainbows and unicorns. And so what happens when that spouse is like left by themselves, like what tool is out there for them to become better versions of themselves? And I think that is why what's really cool is actually, it doesn't have a marketing ring, but if we could be named anything other than Marriage 365, it would be like Spouse 365, become the best spouse you possibly can.
Yeah.
You're in a relationship. But you know, it's like this idea of like, really focusing on
yourself.
And if you show up healthy in the relationship, you know, you model that behavior. I when Megan got help, like here's the big thing. When Megan got help, she showed up in a really healthy way. And then she kind of led the way in like, this is how we're going to argue. This is how we're going to fight. We're going to fight fairly. And we're not going to cross boundaries. Because when I came to crossing those boundaries, she set them up and she said, no, we're not going to talk to each other like that. And I was like, whoa, that's a different kind of Megan.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Megan. And when she was becoming the healthier version, it was really hard to look in the mirror and go, yeah, I'm the healthiest version as I'm exploding with all these insecurities and like lack of awareness. So, I mean, I have to say that she,
two healthy people. There you go. Make a healthy marriage.
Yeah.
Who's the person you have control over?
Mm-hmm.
Self. You don't have control over your spouse. And you can, and I will tell you, I mean, I mainly work with women, but you know, it's my passion to say you are spending so much time worrying about what your husband is doing or not doing. Mm-hmm. It's taking up so much mental space. Mm-hmm. That you have nothing left to give yourself into your marriage. Mm. And now you're this like bitter, anxious person.
Right.
And, like, let that go. Like, he is responsible for what he's doing. Mm-hmm. And you're responsible for what you're doing and how you're showing up into the marriage and how you're showing up as a mom, you know, and obviously that message goes for men and women, but yeah. I think as women, we tend to be the glue that holds the family together. Mm-hmm. We're doing a lot, you know, and it can be really overwhelming. And so, I mean, if you want to make a better marriage, make a better you. If someone could take that just from this podcast, that to me is a win.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to focus on your spouse and they need to change this and it's their fault that it's this way. And it could be that you may be 100% correct.
Mm-hmm.
But you have no control over them. And you also don't ever want your spouse to change because you ask them to change.
Yeah.
You want them to change because they recognize that they need to change.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. That's been a huge lesson for me in the last few years. I would have loved Casey to change way earlier. But when I tried to do that, I mean, I did it with good intentions. It didn't really work. Mm-hmm. And then I resented him and he probably resented me. But when I'm like, you know what? He needs to recognize that this isn't healthy. Like, whether he married me or somebody else, like this is not sustainable for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And letting that go, you know what that gives you? Freedom and peace and healing and capacity. And then you get to go into the bedroom with less stress because you're not worrying about what your spouse is doing.
Yeah. I love that. So, so important. Yeah. Just a great reminder for us to kind of turn inward and say, okay, you know, what am I doing? How am I showing up? And yeah, it's really easy to want to fix people, but not everyone wants to be fixed and we have to Most people don't want to be fixed, in fact. But yeah, just being really mindful about how we're approaching that and, you know, how we're showing up ourselves in the relationship.
As I always tell the husbands I work with, the only thing you can fix is your dog.
Well, and so speaking of, you know, dependents, dogs, kids, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but, you know, again, how can we show up in our relationship and set a good example for our children with our marriage and like how we're interacting with our spouse? Because, you know, in a perfect world, we would always be, you know, happy and giving each other kisses and all these things in front of our kids and being perfect partners. But sometimes the reality is we lose our tempers with each other. We may be short with each other. And I'm not just speaking for myself, but I know, you know, a lot of my listeners were like, how do we like show our kids that sometimes we're human, we lose our tempers, we don't handle situations exactly how we wish we would have. And just showing them that that's okay, but also this is how we hope to show up in our relationship with each other majority of the time. It's a loaded question. So who okay. wants to tackle that one?
I just want to challenge you to say, here's what we see at Marriage 365. We get couples in crisis. We do like coaching or marriage intensives. And they say to us, well, my parents never fought.
Mm-hmm.
And that kills us and breaks our heart, because you know what we have to tell the couple?
Yeah.
Your parents did fight. They fought behind closed doors.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you never saw that, because then what happened is this spouse that's sitting with us, mm-hmm. they think that the fighting with their spouse isn't normal and that it's bad, and it's not bad. Conflict is inevitable.
Yeah.
You are going to have conflict in every single relationship, even with your children. And a happy, perfect marriage is not actually what you want your children to learn. And this sounds weird. I know we're Marriage 365. But here's the thing. You want your kids to see what a real healthy relationship looks like. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids do not do what we tell them to do.
Mm-hmm.
They do what they see.
Yeah, exactly.
We're teaching them right through our actions. And so we actually are advocates for, if you fight in the car, I mean, obviously we don't say get into World War III and cuss, but let them see that. But here's
healthy
conflict. But here's where I would say couples miss the mark. They don't show the making up.
Right. I was going to say like the reconciliation after is the key. Yes. Yeah.
They see the fight, but they never see, like, your children should learn. We have something at Marriage 365 called a four-step apology. This is something that you can use in any relationship, your marriage, your kids, coworkers. But your kids should see you go through a four-step apology. Your kids should see forgiveness. Your kids should see you cry, because mm-hmm. life's hard.
Yeah.
And we do not want to we don't want to protect our kids to where they don't think that like conflict isn't happening, because mm-hmm. then they're going to get a job and then they're going to fight with their coworker and they're not going to have the skills to actually move through that.
Yeah.
And so we believe that you should model everything. Mm-hmm. So like Casey said, you want to stick more with the healthy conflict. Now we have teenagers and a preteen. So we're in the kind of the final few years of parenting. And I will say that they have seen, they know way more than like they did when they were 2 or 3 years old. And that's been even interesting, learning how to do that and how to walk. Like, our daughter knows when we're having sex. She knows what sex is. She's a teenager.
What? Yeah.
And that even alone, like navigating it, like it's not like we don't even lie to her. Like we could, like we would have when we were 8.
Yeah.
But when she was 8, but now she, the other day, oh, this is so embarrassing. I'm sorry, babe. Doesn't embarrass me. She's like, oh my gosh, are you and dad having sex? And I said, yep. So go put your AirPods on and go to your room. And she was like, oh my gosh, mom. But you know what I know? What I love about that is she knows that her mom and dad in a healthy marriage have sex
mm-hmm.
and prioritize it. That's what I taught my daughter in that moment.
Yeah.
That in my mind versus like, oh no, we're just talking. And mm-hmm. I'm not trying to judge.
We're tickling each other.
Yeah. I mean, but if you're in a healthy marriage, you should be having sex.
Right. Yeah.
And she has seen us argue and our son has seen us argue. And we have said, like, we've even said, like, you guys need to go sit in front of a movie. Mom and dad are fighting about something and we need to resolve this.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids, you know what that teaches our kids? Mom and dad's marriage is a priority.
Yeah.
And we are going to resolve this, but it's going to take time, which conflict takes time.
Yeah.
Hey, Shanna, I'll ask the question. Do you want to raise a selfish child?
No, I do not.
All right. Then why do we center our entire lives around our kids?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Probably not going to be a popular statement.
Yeah, it's true, though. And it's hard. It's a mindset shift for sure.
What's happening is we're not making that transition. So you are going to be giving birth in a couple months here.
11 weeks.
11 weeks.
To be exact.
Yeah, countdown. And you know what? In those beginning months and years, like total dependence upon you for everything. Boundaries, mm-hmm. bedtime.
Food.
Yeah, exactly. There is a total dependence. So, mm-hmm. so I think what happens is we get thrown into a season and then we hope. Here we go. We're hoping as a strategy that we make this transition, but we're not intentional about it. Mm-hmm. So we never transition away from, hey, honey, son, daughter, you're not the center of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, mom and dad's marriage is more important.
Yeah.
Now, if you have an avoidant spouse that's working and work always wins, you know, I get it that there's easy lanes for us to fall into, almost like spillways that we could fall into, like, well, my spouse is never around, so of course I'm going to make it about my kids because my spouse isn't there. Totally get it. But in a healthy, like if we were to say this is what we want, ideally, just where we should set our targets, we'd want to see where, yeah, mom and dad need to spend time together. So that means you're going to be on your own for right now. You're going to find a way to
entertain yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what we're doing right there in that moment, when we fight and we make up, when we communicate healthy boundaries, when we work through difficult issues, when we compliment each other and affirm each other, or when we apologize to each other,
yeah,
is modeling that behavior and saying, this is normal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And because our kids don't do what we tell them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like I have a 15-year-old. I get it. She do what I tell her to do. She does what she sees me do.
Mm-hmm.
That's what she does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if I don't have healthy boundaries around tech and screen time, guess who doesn't have healthy boundaries around tech and screen time?
Yeah.
You know, my digital native daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Teenager, you know,
yeah.
So, and when they get older, they'll throw it back in your face, by the way. Like they know what you're doing and not doing. You can't fool children.
Right.
And I want to say this too. I think that Casey and I, you know, because we're dealing with people who are hurting and they didn't have great childhoods. And so we're trying to tell them like what you experienced wasn't normal or wasn't good, or that mm-hmm. was trauma. Like, this is why you're responding this way.
Yeah.
A big like bonus tip for parents listening is to make sure that you talk about feelings, but not just talk about them. Actually teach your children how to go and process through those feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings come and go. Like I'll give you an example, anger. Like anger is a healthy and good emotion. Like you mm-hmm. should be angry if someone purposely like threw away your homework in the trash can. Like an anger would be a normal response to that, right?
Right.
Happens is we don't actually model and then talk about how to process our anger in a healthy mm-hmm. way. So kids grow up, mainly boys, right? Don't cry,
mm-hmm. you
suck it up. The only emotion boys are allowed to show is anger, usually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for girls, we nurture that more. And so what happens is women, we marry men and we're like, okay, ready to talk about feelings. And the husband doesn't know anything about feelings. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't know how to process emotions.
Yeah.
All I know is anger and excitement. So,
yeah. Yeah. And the wife comes to us and she says, my husband's not emotional. I said, well, only sociopaths are not emotional. Your husband has emotions.
She hasn't been guided.
And so like, if you've got a little boy, I mean, I don't like to stereotype, but it is the norm. I mean, I think for girls too, we have to also model that. And the best example is through your marriage.
Yeah.
And it's okay to say right now, I'm kind of mad at dad. I'm upset.
Yeah.
And then obviously make it age appropriate, right? Because when they're toddlers, they only know so much. And same thing when they're elementary. But as your kids get older, it's amazing. As our daughter has 3 more years left with us,
mm-hmm.
you have to start going like, wow, I mean, Casey says it, and I love this, but we're not raising happy children. We're raising responsible adults. Mm-hmm. If our daughter, if our kids, like we keep talking about a daughter, we do have a son too, by the way. if they live to be 80 years old, they're only with us for 18 years.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that
point they get to make. So the majority of their life, they're not even with us, which is crazy to think about.
It is. Yeah. And sad for me. I'm like, my son's two. I'm like, never leave me.
Well, and it is, it's sad to hear the stories of how specifically men have had to process emotions. A lot of absent fathers. I was just coaching a spouse, husband, who said when he was 10 years old, his dad wasn't around. So a 12-year-old said, well, I only let myself feel pain for 10 seconds and then I get over it. And so he's been married 25 years, has 3 kids at 10 years old. That's what he was told. And guess what he said to me today? This is how I process my emotions. I feel it for 10 seconds and then I move on.
Wow. So
that's, you know, I mean, ladies, I get it. You're thinking you're marrying a man who may be strapping, successful, drive a nice car. You know, he's sharp and witty. But deep down inside, they're boys. They are boys. And they want to be men. They really do. It's not that they want to be stuck in delayed adolescence. But if they've never had that safe environment to grow up or never had the model, then how the expectation is that we would think that they should be like this, and they show up like that. And then there's the missed expectation that creates conflict, anger, resentment, and everything else.
And I just want to say that if there's someone listening that just feels really hopeless, like, I don't know how to be a good spouse. I don't know how to communicate to my spouse. I think what's really amazing is that all these things can be taught and learned. And I think that's the hope of marriage, is that if you want to be a great communicator, you can learn how to be a great communicator. You have to have the willing, like, desire in your heart and then make the time for it. And that is exactly what we do at Marriage 365. We don't just say, go communicate. We actually tell you word for word what to say and how do you do your body language and how
we
do you
give you the scripts.
And we give you the scripts, like how to bring up emotional disconnection is one of our videos. But I think that if it's with us or somebody else, there's so much hope out there to have that healthy marriage. But again, it starts by making a better you and recognizing these are the areas that I need to work on. And I know the same goes with your health and parenting, all of that. There's so much hope. And it makes me sad for people to think that there isn't hope, because if we can make it in our marriage of 20 years, the least likely couple to succeed, we are more different than alike. And we actually still like each other. We're obviously both very talkative extroverts, strong-willed, stubborn.
Our only similarity. We're competitive.
And we love marriage. But I think that is, like, we're proof to say, like, if we can do this, oh, trust me, you can do this too.
Yeah. I love that. So many good points. And yeah, just really big mindset shifts and generational differences that I think we have to get over in terms of instilling, like you said, showing our emotions, talking about our emotions, being honest about having disagreements and, you know, communication issues and apologizing and reconciling and all those things. I think those are so, so important, because I think a lot of us were raised in households where it was just like, yeah, behind closed doors, these things happen and we just never talk about conflict, right? And pretend it doesn't happen. gosh, this was so incredible. And I so appreciate your time and all of your expertise. And I'd love for you to tell us where people can find you, all of your resources, and any fun things that you may have coming up for people to take advantage of.
Absolutely. So our website is marriage365.com. So it's pretty easy to remember. And we have books, we have courses, we have a marriage retreat coming up in Nashville in May, which is going to be really exciting. We're going to have we have online tickets as well as in person. But again, our most popular resource is our membership. So you can pay monthly or you can pay annually. We have couples all over the world. And again, you can do it with or without your spouse. And you can find all that info at marriage365.com.
Amazing. I definitely want to check out that book with all the prompts of questions to ask each other, because that sounds like such a fun and easy way to just connect. So this is amazing. And I can't wait to share it with everyone. I'll be sure to link everything in the show notes for you guys so you can easily find them and all of the resources. And just thank you so much again, Casey and Megan, for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you so much.
Really quick, before you go, I wanted to let you know that Casey, Megan, and I decided it would be fun to do a little giveaway along with this episode. So we're going to give away a few of their books and resources to two lucky winners. So you will win either a couple's book or a self-discovery book. You'll get to choose. Be sure to follow Marriage 365 on Instagram, as well as Wellness for the Win Pod Instagram. And I'll have a giveaway post up on my podcast page where you can find all the details to enter. And I'll leave links for that in the show notes so you can just scroll right down right where you are and click on that and be sure to enter. So thank you again so much for listening and talk to you next week.
Can you say wellness?
Wellness.
Can you say for the win?
For the win.
You say thanks for listening.
For listening.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Good job, baby.
I hope you enjoyed this episode and took away some tips or wisdom that you can apply to boost your health and happiness starting today. If you did, I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating and review to help other women like you find my show and get inspired to start living a life they love. Also, take a quick screenshot and share it to your Instagram stories. Be sure to tag me at Wellness for the Win so I can see why you love today's show. Thank you so much for listening and talk to you next time.